We told you about the Scottish referendum, who can vote and what it means to us in Cumbria and southwest Scotland. Then we wanted your questions to use in a debate. I met with South Scotland MSP Joan McAlpine from the Yes campaign and Carlisle MP John Stevenson from the No campaign. Joan, why should people in southwest Scotland vote yes?
It means that the Scottish Parliament will have job-creating powers, will be able to protect our NHS from privatisation, and we'll always get the governments that we vote for.
And John, why should we vote no?
I believe that the last 300 years have produced a tremendous union between Scotland and England that has been incredibly successful. It's had its ups and downs, but we're a very prosperous and rich country, and I think we take a great danger if that union is to be split.
Okay, first we've got Kathy Harper from Penrith. She's from Scotland but lives and works in England. She's got concerns about crossing the border and wonders if her children would have to get the money that's given from the grandparents changed to sterling when they get back to England.
It doesn't divide people now, and it will not divide people after a yes vote. What it divides is two different political systems. We want more powers for our own parliament so that we can continue to invest in our people. And whatever the No campaign threatened, we're going to keep using the pound so the lady doesn't have to worry in any way about that.
I think there are huge consequences for people living both in southwest Scotland and indeed in Cumbria. At the personal level, those who are living in Scotland and work in England and vice versa, I think potentially could experience difficulties. Then you have the currency question. Yes, Scotland could potentially use sterling. They would not be part of the currency union. It would be up to the Bank of England and the English authorities to determine monetary policy, etc. But Scotland also aspires to be a member of the European Union. And if they were to become a member of the Union, they would have to adopt the euro.
Next, we've got two opposing views. Aitken Walker from Dumfries says Cumbria will be hit hard by this, as it will make it hard for people to travel to shop, work and even visit hospitals. Whereas we've got Hayley Ferguson from Dumfries. She says we're not asking to be alienated, so there shouldn't be any changes.
It's not a border between people. People will continue to cross the border. We have a common travel area in the UK between Ireland, the UK and the Isle of Man, places like that. That's been in existence since the 1920s, and nobody's going to start putting up barriers. I mean, it's better for the people of Scotland. Scotland's an ancient nation. It goes back much longer than the 300 years that the Union's been in place. We already have a border that distinguishes our political systems and allows us to make decisions over things like health and education. What we are saying is that our parliament should have powers over the economy, over whether we go to war, over whether we decide to invest in weapons of mass destruction. And we take very different decisions, and I think the decisions we take will be better for the people of Scotland.
Unfortunately, I think this will be divisive and you'll end up with two competing countries rather than a union all working in the same direction. For example, I'm the Member of Parliament for Carlisle, and quite rightly, if Scotland were to vote yes, I'll be campaigning vigorously to ensure that things and the laws benefit Carlisle rather than Scotland. And quite rightly, Scotland will also be competing against England. But I actually think that is detrimental to both southwest of Scotland and indeed Cumbria.
OK, Hayden Dunstan from Wigton wants to know if we'll physically see the border.
No, as I've said, we're part of the common travel area that's existed in the UK and Ireland since the 1920s. People travel freely across borders all over Europe, so you won't see any difference, and the people that tell you that are scaremongering in order to frighten people into voting no.
I would actually like to see, if Scotland were to vote yes, that there were no borders. I don't think it would be of benefit to either country if they were to be created. I think you've got to be very careful of the risk going in the long term should Scotland and England decide to take a different immigration policy. And if that were to happen, then there is always the possibility of border controls, but it's something I would certainly not like to see.
Next, Andy Duncan from Carlisle says she's got a doggy daycare centre just 2 miles from the Scottish border, based in England. And she wonders if she can still keep her customers over in Gretna.
My understanding is that animal welfare regulation is already devolved to Scotland, so we already do have different regimes which don't affect this lady's business. Going forward in terms of business, you know, we're part of a European open market, and I don't see that there would be any effect in her business whatsoever.
On the specific issue of, you know, the health of the dogs, etc., I suspect there would not be any risk to the business. Where my concerns are in terms of business regulation, another sort of employment law, etc., tax regimes, those sort of things, I think that is more likely to have an impact on the business rather than anything to do with the dog's welfare.
Andrew Allen from Penrith wants to know what will happen to the value of the pound.
This is a very important question because Scotland exports more per head than the rest of the UK. That's partly because of the strength of our oil and gas, whisky and other produce industries. And those exports contribute to the UK's balance of payment. Like oil and gas alone contribute about $40 billion a year to the UK's balance of payments, and that keeps the pound strong. These threats about not allowing us into a currency union when the pound already is ours as well as the rest of the UK is very destabilising, and it's the fact is that the UK needs Scotland to be part of a currency union in order to keep the pound strong and so that other businesses in the UK don't have transaction costs.
I think this is one of the most straightforward issues. It's been made quite clear by all the three main political parties that there will not be a formal currency union with Scotland. I go back to my point, a country of 58 million and a country of 5 million. Quite clearly the country of 58 million does not need to enter into that currency union, and they wouldn't. That doesn't stop Scotland using sterling, but it would be using sterling on the terms set by the rest of the United Kingdom.
The important point is they can't stop us using the pound, as John has acknowledged. What they can do is stop us sharing the Bank of England, which is a nationalised institution. If we didn't get the share of that asset, because it is a shared asset, then if you don't take a share of the assets, then you don't get a share of the liabilities either. So that would result in people in the rest of the UK having to pay an extra $5 billion a year in interest rate payments on the national debt. And I don't think that once people in the rest of the UK look at that, they'll think it's a very good deal.
I think this is one of the weaknesses of the SNP, because they're already making threats that if they don't get their way, they will do X, Y and Z. And in fact, if they were to default on that
debt,
the risk to them is that nobody else would be willing to lend them money in the future, yeah. And they would immediately have an economic difficulty going forward. So I just think you listen to the SNP making their threats already when they don't get their way. But I think when it comes to a negotiation, it is absolutely right that the rest of the United Kingdom retains complete control over the use of the currency, the Bank of England, setting of interest rates and monetary policy.
Well, that's basically...
It's up to Scotland. If they wish to use the currency, they may do so in the same way they could use the American dollar. But it will be on the terms of the rest of the United Kingdom, and rightly so.
As it is at the moment, basically what the Better Together parties are saying is it's our way or it's no way at all. We've said we're perfectly willing to take our share of the debt, even though the UK government went to the international markets in January this year and said it was their debt and they were going to pay it all. As legally it is, if Scotland was considered a new state and they were considered the continuing state, there's no precedent for the new state taking on a share of the debt. But we are being reasonable and we're saying, yeah, we are taking on a share of the debt, but we don't have to take on a share of the debt if we don't get the assets. And removing the Bank of England from Scotland, having contributed to it for all these years. Remember, for the last 33 years, we've paid more tax per head than the rest of the UK. We've overpaid our share of those assets.
Well, we know we're going to disagree on all those figures.
They're official Office and Ashmole Statistics figures.
Scotland has received a huge amount of investment as well, which they quite rightly did receive, and I have no problems with that at all. But then, for they've got to accept that they take a proportion of the debt that is there.
As we have said, we are, but we need a share of the assets. If you take a share of the debt, you take a share of the assets
currency. Too. If he was so confident about the success of Scotland, you'd have thought he would have decided upon introducing Scotland's own pound, and they could have traded quite freely on that basis. Quite clearly, he doesn't have that confidence in the economy and wishes to have the security of the currency union. Quite rightly, they can use sterling, but I don't see why a country of 58 million should be told what they can and cannot do by a country of 5 million.
Nobody's suggesting that. We're suggesting an agreement, which the Better Together parties don't want to sit down in a currency union and reach an agreement. At the moment, we have no say in the currency union that we're in at the moment. A formal currency union agreed between two independent partners would be an agreement, and the Better Together parties don't seem to have... Yeah, because you don't want to reach an agreement. You want to dictate.
That's what you want to do,
as you do at the moment.
Scotland could have their own currency. They could use the sterling if they wish, or they could go and take the euro. So Scotland have actually got choices. It's just unfortunately Alex Salmond never expresses them properly.
Okay, so we've been neck and neck over the last week. What should we expect when we finally do have that result? Could there be any bitterness for us here right on the border?
Well, I'm very much hoping for a no vote. I still think it will probably be a no vote. I certainly think what I would call the silent majority of Scotland see sense in being part of the union. and I hope that is the case. Unfortunately, I think there could be a bit of disruption after the vote because it's got quite a little bit nasty towards the end, which I think is very, very unfortunate. So I think it'll be incumbent on all sides to make sure that, you know, bridges are built immediately so that whatever the result, Scotland can go forward and indeed the rest of the United Kingdom can go forward. I hope as a union there will be some further devolution to Scotland, which will then actually, interestingly enough, bring up some issues for the rest of the United Kingdom in terms of devolution for the English cities and counties. But overall, I just hope that the Scottish people, the silent majority, will vote no and that we can continue this very, very successful union.
Well, I'm confident there'll be a yes vote because more people are waking up to the opportunity that yes brings. In terms of after the vote, I don't know how much time John spent in Scotland, but it's been a very, very positive time. People have become politically educated and active who have never been politically educated and active before. There's been a wonderful cultural renaissance in Scotland, and we're going to build on that, and we're going to build on the friendships and the partnerships that we've made over the last couple of years in this wonderful campaign.
OK, that's all we've got time for right now. Joan, John, thank you very much for your time.